Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
To the justice.
I can't confirm and I can't deny. I really have no comment on the rumors that have come out today. This decision has to be made by the president-elect. And so any questions have to be directed to the transition and to president-elect's headquarters in Washington.
I know it's dangerous making fun of the future head of the CIA, but doesn't he look like Peter Sellers in Inspector Clouseau movies? So Obama is showing that he has no experience whatsoever. He's over his head, doesn't know what he's doing. This is amazing. He picks Leon Panetta to be the head of the CIA, a man has no experience in intelligence work to speak of. In a time of terror, this is no joke. And now, wait, it gets better. He approaches a hack on CNN who plays doctor, someone named Gupta, to be the Surgeon General. This is getting great. Now, why would Obama have the lack of foresight, or lack the foresight, to make such missteps as these? It's amazing to me. How could he pick a man from CNN who's simply a reporter to be the head of the medical world in America, the Surgeon General? How is that possible? You talk about the government media complex. Now, I've already talked about my opinion on why Panetta was picked. We talked about it yesterday in the Savage Nation. We've heard all sorts of ideas. It occurred during my show yesterday. I was the first one to say this is not only incomprehensible, but I believe that Panetta was picked to protect Obama's back rather than to protect America's back. Now, I heard it on 100 shows today. People emailed me that they heard it somewhere, a pundit. They listened to my show, so that's my analysis. But then someone called yesterday and said, no, Panetta was picked to feed Obama false information, to throw him off track, and to deceive him by the Clintons, who ultimately want to take over the White House. You know, this, by mere dint of the fact that conspiracy theories are floating around this suggested appointment, means he's the wrong man. He's not rock solid. He has no qualifications. It's amateurish. And frankly, he ought to withdraw his name for the sake of America. We need someone with real intelligence experience in the CIA. This is a serious post. It's not like the Surgeon General. I mean, it's always been a laughingstock post. Coop was a crackpot and a kook. Then before him, there was Jocelyn Elders, who said masturbation is good for you. Remember that one? I mean, so the Surgeon General is like a puff position anyway. They could put it doesn't matter, Gupta. What does it matter? They don't know what they're talking about anyway. They read scripts. You think they know anything about alternative medicine? Nothing. They know nothing. Surgeon General. I guarantee you, if you needed surgery, you wouldn't go to Sanjay Gupta. You'd go to Myron Katz in Mount Sinai Hospital. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. There are other bigger stories in these, but I mean, it just shows you what's going on. The Madoff scandal, I am declaring, is a financial holocaust. I know these are strong words, but they're apt words. You know, when I say that Madoff has conducted a financial holocaust, I am telling you exactly what I think is true. What's interesting, though, is that this Ghanif-in-chief, the alleged Ghanif-in-chief Madoff, who, by the way, should be in prison, and I've called for the U.S. attorney to investigate the judge. It's an outrage to me. that this judge in New York, this magistrate judge in New York, would say to the prosecutor, no, even though he mailed $1 million worth of his jewels and jewelry for Hanukkah to his relatives while he was under house arrest, that doesn't constitute a violation of his terms of house arrest. Judge Ellis? Why didn't someone investigate Judge Ellis's ties to Madoff, if any? The financial ties between Judge Ellis and Madoff, if any, and get a real judge in there, somebody we can trust instead of another New York judge, you know what I'm saying, a magistrate, some lawyer they got there, some night school lawyer with a black robe. But he wiped people out. It's a financial holocaust. But you see, Madoff chose his victims carefully. The largest percentage of his victims are liberal Jews. I know you're not supposed to say it. It's like, hush, oof, don't say it, hush, hush. He picked mainly on liberal Jews because he knew that they would be unlikely to react violently to his theft when it was found out. They're not protesting in front of his $8 million Manhattan apartment. It's incomprehensible to me. If it was me, I'd be out there day and night with a bullhorn, and I'd have 1,000 people with me. But he knew the crowd he picked on are basically pacifists. The only people they ever yell at are conservatives. But a guy like him, nothing. Why aren't they not outside his apartment building? You know, that's story number 89,533, 1-800-449-8255. If you care to comment on Leon Panetta, I mean, he seems like a nice enough guy. I'm sure he's the kind of guy you'd want to have a glass of cheap Chianti with and be in his house while he's cooking Monterey squid. He seems like a nice Italian guy. Is that enough to be the head of the CIA? Can't they give me a WASP, an old line WASP who owns the country? Remember in the movie The Good Shepherd? Remember that famous the scene that I liked the most with Joe Pesci? Can you guys dig that up for me? That says it all. Joe Pesci's the... Wait, ho. I called it too fair. In the movie The Good Shepherd, which is a fabulous movie, kind of slow moving, it's for adults, written by a really brilliant screenwriter, Eric Roth. Actually, one of the better movies of last year, or the year before, whenever it was. But it's an adult movie. It's not meant for the crack crowd. And if you live in Crackton, you wouldn't like that movie. Or let's say if you wear pants without a belt on it and it hangs down on your behind and you hold it up with your hands, it's not for you. Let's put it to you that way. But if you like to read novels, The Good Shepherd's a movie that you should have seen. So anyway, it's about the founding of the CIA. Fictional, of course. But in a telling scene, since it was all a WASP agency when it really worked. In other words, when it was functional, it was all run by WASPs. Until it was diversified, then it failed to be a good agency. Once they had to bring people in to make it look like the rest of America, and it became a social service agency, sort of like an American aircraft carrier today, which is a floating brothel, the CIA ceased to be as effective as it once was. So in a telling scene, the screenwriter has the head of one of the CIA operatives go to a character played by Pesci, an Italian guy and a gangster living on the Jersey Shore, asking for his help in doing something. And there's a great interchange written between the Italian character and the WASP character. Now play it.
Let me ask you something. We Italians, we got our families and we got the church. The Irish, they have the homeland. The Jews, their tradition. Even the they got their music. What about you people, Mr. Carlson? What do you have?
The United States of America. The rest of you are just visiting.
Now, that's when the CIA worked. When it was run by old line WASPs going back to the Mayflower, we had a ship that sailed. But once they diversified the bridge, it's the ship that couldn't sail straight. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Is the Savage Nation, 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. We're talking about the missteps of Obama in appointing or suggesting he's going to appoint a far-left bureaucrat operative, Leon Panetta, to be the head of the CIA. And also now they're talking about appointing a CNN medical correspondent, Sanjay Gupta, to be Surgeon General, which is astounding. I mean, it's astounding to me. I don't understand what Obama is thinking. I don't know who's advising him. But it doesn't augur tremendous amounts of confidence in the man's selections. Not to me, it doesn't. Now, if you want to talk about that or any other topic, Israel-Gaza, 1-800-449-8255. or whatever you want to talk about. Madoff, the Holocaust, the financial Holocaust that Madoff has inflicted upon thousands of families, and why there are no riots outside his apartment house, which astonishes me. If I had been wiped out, I'd be out there day and night. I'd camp out in front of his building. I wouldn't let him walk by. I wouldn't let his family go in or out without saying what I'd give him a Bronx cheer. I'd bring 1,000 people with me. I'd get as many news cameras as I could. What in the world? Why are they not investigating Judge Ellis? We're looking for a backgrounder on the judge who just said, even though you mailed $1 million of jewelry to your family, you can stay out of jail. I keep telling you that if you jump a subway turnstile in New York, the rules are so strict that you will go to the tombs for 30 days, particularly if you're a black or brown, unconnected citizen. And this is terrible for the people to see. In my opinion, Madoff belongs in jail until he's tried. He should be kept in jail, meet the bail requirements, which he couldn't meet, by the way, and then go to jail until he does meet the bail requirements. This is a really shocking thing that there's no federal intervention here. You know, the government, the federal government, is the problem here. They're not the solution. The federal government has a few principal jobs. The one principal job of a federal government is to protect the people. They failed to protect us on 9/11. They failed to protect America from the 9/11 of the financial world, which was, of course, the financial meltdown. And so the federal government is completely useless when it comes to protecting the people. You expect to get justice through a federal system that it's already shown it failed you? No, I don't think so. That's why The Godfather was such a popular movie. Sacramento, Jonathan, welcome to the Savage Nation. Welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I think the reason that Obama appointed Leon Panetta is because Leon Panetta was part of the Iraq study group that eventually told the president, yeah, we think we should pull out and put out a timeline. And so I think that Obama appointed him because he's going to tell not only him, but the people what Obama wants to hear.
Well, he's a lifetime dove. He's a lifetime left winger. That's the exact opposite of what we need in a time of terror in the CIA. That's fine to put. The guy ran an Institute of Peace. What is that all about? We don't need a peacenik dove in that CIA. We need a macho ex-Marine in there or a naval aviator. What are these people, crazy? They think this is just a joke?
Yep, we need people that think for themselves, not people that are going to tell him what he already wants, you know.
Well, this is not a good sign. It shows you that Obama is as inexperienced as we fear. And once he's left on his own devices, he can't make the right decisions. That he's thinking like a college professor at a seminar somewhere at Harvard. KGIL in Los Angeles rejoined the Savage Nation live beginning yesterday. I love that affiliate. Not more than other stations. I mean, I love all of you. But they're one of my children, and I'm glad that this child is back in the family. KGIL 1260 on the dial. Anyone who reaches me live from Los Angeles, where I can get under the skin of more people in a single breath than anywhere else in America, will get a free copy of my great autobiography, Psychological Nudity. Larry, in Los Angeles, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thank you, Michael. You mentioned Eric Ross playing that last clip. You know, he lost a lot of money with Bernie Madoff.
Yes, I know. I know. So is that the whole call and nothing but the call?
Today supporting Israel at Wilshire Boulevard at 5 p.m. in front of the Israeli consulate. I'll be there listening to your show.
You sure you're not going to get attacked by the pro-Palestinian crowd?
There are lots of police there. There's more police than there are. I'd say there's more police. There's one police for every person there demonstrating. There's police on horseback. I'm not worried.
All right. Good luck. Thanks for calling. 1-800-449-8255. Salinas, California. Rex, welcome to the program. You're on the Savage Nation. Your opinion counts. Go ahead, please.
Panetta?
Go ahead.
Hello? Yeah, well, yes. Monterey, all right, he's pretty well respected here. And
So is Clint Eastwood.
Well, at least he didn't nominate somebody like I believe Bush did. I guess somebody in Homeland Security that had ties to organized crime. And I understand.
Whoa. What do you mean ties to organized crime? Who?
For somebody he nominated a long time ago, he had to withdraw the nomination.
Well, I don't know. You know, it's like two wrongs don't make a right. I don't know what you're talking about. Well, what is the chief qualification of Leon Panetta other than he's a nice guy?
Well, that I think they chose him for his organizational skills because I understand he had.
I've heard that, but is that enough to run a spy agency? A bureaucrat, a man who can file papers properly. and keep people in line. Is that what you need in a spy agency?
Well, didn't they have some other people before that had intelligence experience that didn't do too good a job in the CIA?
What do you mean they didn't do too good a job? We haven't been attacked since 9/11, have we?
Well, yeah, well, that's true.
I mean, let's give credit where credit is due. If you were a field agent, Rex, working in a risky position somewhere in the world as an undercover operative for the CIA, wouldn't you want a man who understands what your dangers are at the head of the agency so he doesn't pull a switch on you and have you killed?
Well, I don't...
You know, it's the same thing. I have a very... To me, I have a very strict set of standards when it comes to military or intelligence. In other words, if I am choosing somebody to be the head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, I want him to be a former naval aviator, if possible, a former Marine, if possible, not a hack bureaucrat whose parents worked for Bing Crosby in Hollywood or John Wayne or one of the actors. This is the problem. If you've got a guy's risking their lives in missions around the world, they have to have the confidence that the man at the top of the heap understands the dangers that they're putting themselves in, and what dangers they may find themselves in may require a split-second decision that a nice guy bureaucrat may not be able to make.
Well, yeah, but there's a learning curve. You can probably have...
Well, sure, I know. In order to make an omelet, you got to break a few eggs. So in other words, it's an on-the-job training like Obama himself.
But, you know, also...
Well, that's right. No, it's on-the-job training for the whole Obama administration, except for the former Clintonites, who know exactly where the bodies are buried. I disagree with you, sir, but I appreciate the fact that you're listening to the show. Very important to me. 1-800-449-8255. MichaelSavage.com. Let's see. Today is Tuesday. Normally, that's Chicken Curry Tuesday. And I have to admit something that I didn't want to admit. I stayed away from the chicken curry Chinese place for 3 months, and I went back. They're watching this step. It's true. They don't like me. I can see they look the other way when I walk in. I don't know if they're poisoning me or what, but it doesn't stick. My gums don't, my teeth don't stick together. The glue, the crazy glue, is out of the chop suey. So maybe I'll be able to eat there for a while. But speaking of good food, I also went back to a place I haven't been to for years. And I got to tell you something. I have good news. Aliotto's at Fisherman's Wharf. I went there Saturday night with 6 friends. We had a private room. It's the best seafood in San Francisco to this day. I'm sorry. I wasn't there for a long time. Aliotto's on the wharf, the best. Really. It's the in-house.
Savage.
Is the Savage Nation. You know, my anniversary is March 21st, 2009. Will be my 15th year in radio. Would you believe it? They said it wouldn't last a week. They said I couldn't last a week. 15 years, and I thank you very much. I'm going to do something special. I don't know what yet. I better start thinking about it. Here are some stories from MichaelSavage.com. Hamas has advanced U.S. weapons, thanks State Department. I don't know if you know this, but if you read the story, they have thousands of advanced weapons that were given to the so-called moderate Palestinians, with 800,000 rounds of ammunition by the U.S. given to the so-called moderate Palestinians. They're in the hands of Hamas. Geniuses. You know, you got to hand it to the State Department. They're just geniuses. Hamas has advanced weapons from the U.S. Under that story, ACLU has sued and won $240,000 for an Arab who scared airline passengers. That's right. The ACLU always working for your freedom, making certain that America is taken over one lawsuit at a time. A little down on the MichaelSavage.com, synagogue set ablaze, anti-Semitic assault soaring in Europe. That's right, the wonderful, wonderful guest workers from Arab lands, the practitioners of the religion of peace, are attacking synagogues in Europe. It's nice to see what they do when they're given freedom, and you want them to give back the West Bank. Cross-dressing dermatologist who killed wife found dead in jail cell. A cross-dressing millionaire Harvard dermatologist serving life in prison for shooting his estranged wife to death has been found hanged in his cell. Now, of course, the headline in the Associated Press doesn't say cross-dressing. It says doctor who killed wife found dead. They want to leave out the cross-dressing part. It's a very big part of the story. It's a very important part of the story. Obama wants CNN hack for Surgeon General. I don't think it'll be any worse than Jocelyn Elders. Now, here's an interesting story. Three members of a San Francisco Bay Area were hospitalized over the holidays after they ate a highly toxic wild mushroom soup. And the mother was an avid mushroom hunter, yet they ate a soup made of the deadly death cap Amanita mushroom. The interesting part of the story is that their lives were saved by an herbal extract called Silymarin. And you have to read the whole article to understand that their livers were saved and their life was saved by a herbal remedy. And the reason that the newspapers don't want you to know that it was a herbal remedy, by the way, imported from Germany, because it's a pharmaceutical grade, Silymarin, S-I-L-Y-M-A-R-I-N, is a potent liver saver that alcoholics have known about. People whose livers have been damaged by Tylenol and other drugs have known about it if they have a wise practitioner. But most Americans don't know anything about herbal medicine because the AMA, in cahoots with some of America's worst medical schools, continue to lie to you, telling you that herbs don't work or they're dangerous. The fact of the matter is the Silymarin from milk thistle, which I've known about for 30 years, as anyone else who's studied it knows, saved the lives of this family, or else they'd be dead. Their livers would have gone. 1-800-449-8255. Latinos push Obama on vacant post. Apparently, I don't know how they say Bill Richardson is a Hispanic. Why is that a Hispanic thing? Can't they just pick someone for Commerce Secretary who's the best Commerce Secretary in a time like this? It has to be a Hispanic? What is this insanity about, you know, ethnic seats and ethnic positions and ethnic... Why? Because we're balkanized. That's why America's breaking up. We're balkanizing and breaking up. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Any topic is not fair game. Sacramento, California. Andrew, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I just want to thank you for staying on the issues that are always on my mind. I've been listening to you since middle school, as far back as I can remember. And you always, I see things and headlines and news and everything, and you're the only one that really sticks with them and the important things and doesn't gossip about them.
Well, I mean, look, we can get silly if we want, but in times like this, I think you need to lighten it up occasionally, but you got to stay on the mark here. You got to do your homework. You got to be prepared to discuss it with a certain degree of intelligence and knowledge and let the people decide what they want to decide. But if you're not going to discuss the issues, there's no reason for you to be in talk radio. You may as well continue to do stand-up on Fox News.
Exactly. And I've heard people say that maybe you should lighten up, but you definitely shouldn't, because if you weren't talking about the issues, no one would. You're the only one left, it seems.
Well, no, I can't say that's true. I think many of the talk show hosts try to talk about the issues. I think they fall short of the mark because they don't analyze deeply enough. But I give you my perspective, and I'm glad you appreciate it. That's all. 1-800, I'm going to stop with the number already. They know the number. I'd like to go, you know, get a little involved with some interesting stories here. We got great stories. We got great callers from around America. Do you know that this show is heard around the world on the internet? It's pretty amazing when you think about it, when you think that your opinions are, even though there's one man's opinion, it's heard around the world. And that's a pretty awesome responsibility when you think about it. It can make you quite rigid. If I was an uptight kind of guy, I'd get rigid. But since I'm not an uptight person, I don't get rigid. I mean, so I'd like to talk with you and I give you my honest opinion of any of the world affairs, and I'll take it from any point of view. I think many of you who are completely different than me politically have come to trust the show for your own reasons. And that's why the audience, being so diverse, and I know it's an overused word, makes this show an interesting one for me. And I'd like liberals to participate in the show. We don't have to attack each other to disagree like I did with the man about Panetta, who was simply quoting the party line, which is that Panetta has managerial experience. That's not enough for a man in the field or a woman in the field who's doing, spy work, who can be caught. And then at that juncture, needs somebody who's done that work to make a decision that could save his or her life. Not a bureaucrat from Monterey who you might want to cook calamari with, you know. So if you want to talk about the Panetta thing, I mean, it's very worrisome. My gravest fear about Panetta, given that he's a Clinton hack, is that Obama will use the CIA for domestic spying rather than for protecting America from enemies abroad. That's my worst nightmare, is that he starts to use the CIA supercomputers and incredible, beyond our imagination, their ability to spy on us. Instead of spying on our enemies abroad and our enemies from abroad living here, They may use it to spy upon domestic enemies of Obama. And I'll tell you who'll be the first targets. It wouldn't be conservatives in talk radio. We're way down on the list. It would be Democrats themselves who pose a threat to Obama, who would be targeted first by the Obama administration if it gets totally left-wing paranoid. I understand how Bolsheviks work. I know how the Russian Revolution worked. I know how the Castro Revolution worked. I know how Hitler's Nazi Revolution worked. They all work the same way. The first enemies that these revolutionaries go after once they win power are not the opposition itself, but within their own command group. They go after their own first because they don't want any challenges from within. Hitler did it. The Castros locked up their enemies. The Bolsheviks killed their enemies. And that's what I fear the Bill Ayers wing of the Obama party is going to do if they let this Panetta get in there. Panetta is the wrong man for the job. He is very worrisome, in my opinion. 1-800-449-8255. Houston, Texas. Mike, you disagree. Go ahead, please.
Hi there. Remember the movie 7 Days in May?
Mike, I can't understand a word you just said. Please start from the top.
Do you remember the movie 7 Days in May?
No, I don't. But what's your point?
The point is that it doesn't matter the philosophical leanings of anyone in power between Richard Nixon and 7 Days in May, which was a fascist right-wing attempt to take over the government. Anybody with the tools, whether it's Panetta or otherwise, certainly has those resources available to them. And the right wing is no more clean hands.
Well, wait. I'm not saying we should put a radical right winger in the CIA. I just said put a competent spy who's worked the field in the CIA. Did you hear what I said? Somebody who people understand what the field agents are doing. I don't think Panetta, a bureaucrat, is a man who can understand the danger that the agents are going to face out in the field.
There has never been a director of the CIA that actually worked in the field. A man.
Well, there you go. Whoa. Wait a minute. Let's go back to the beginning of the CIA, the OSS. The man who ran the OSS initially did work the field. In fact, he parachuted behind German lines and worked in Nazi Germany, if I'm correct. And after the war, he created the CIA. He was the number one guy.
CIA in the last 50 years. Years has been taken care of by W's daddy, any number of organizational bureaucrats successfully. When the CIA exercises a black op or any operation, they simply say, take care of it. The details of how it's taken care of, who goes where, who's doing what in the field is gives them plausible deniability.
I understand. So let me ask you something. It sounds to me as though you're speaking from some experience here. I somewhat get the idea that you know what you're talking about. Do you agree with me, putting aside the political orientation of Leon Panetta, that one of the dangers of the CIA is using it for domestic, going against domestic enemies?
200%, if there's such a number. Absolutely, 100%.
Well, that's what worries me, and I think Panetta would be a man who would be malleable to that.
And a 30-year career man as a naval pilot or a Marine who has been indoctrinated into the rightness of invading sovereign states such as Iraq for no apparent reason, that doesn't scare you?
Let's go back to my first choice. My first choice would be a someone who came up from the field, someone who has been behind enemy lines and worked their way up inside the CIA itself. You're saying no such person exists. They don't get very far in the bureaucracy. Is that what you're arguing?
I would take it twofold. Number one, I don't think that is an ideal candidate because they, by definition, have their own mindset with regard to those are the bad guys, we're the good guys, and forget diplomacy, forget realism, forget everything else. My job is to do whatever I'm told, as would any military-type person who has been raised and who has lived for 15, 20, 30 years as a bureaucrat.
So you're a I'm trying to follow you. I mean, we're communicating in a strange way on different wavelengths, but I feel I'm understanding you. You're saying that someone trained and ingrained in the military way of life is incapable of individual thinking with any finesse.
Not necessarily incapable, but certainly less than objective. I mean, they're into guns.
So who would you choose as a candidate for the CIA position today? Are you saying it doesn't matter?
I don't believe it does. J. Edgar
you're saying
Hoover,
it doesn't really matter. So you're saying a competent bureaucrat is as good as any?
Names are on federal buildings for, you know, my complete disgust. I mean, that man, I think we can make equivalent to the FBI and the CIA, the security enforcement agencies. And J. Edgar Hoover obviously had problems, and he obviously was not the ideal person to protect our domestic interests. So I would rather...
You're going back to Hoover. But what about the current CIA director, the current FBI director, Mr. Mueller? Do you think he's going to be replaced?
I have no idea.
I'll bet you he is not replaced, and I'll tell you why. He's Barbara Boxer's favorite FBI director. Now, maybe he's doing a superb job. I know that the FBI is not allowed to use the word Islamic fascism or Islamoterrorism at all. You know that. I'm afraid that all of these agencies are overly large government agencies that are almost incapable of making a realistic decision that is in the interest of the American people. I think they exist for themselves. And I believe that just as the SEC was incapable of protecting the Wall Street meltdown and to this day denies that it had any responsibility, I believe that the same is true of these overly large agencies. Frankly, if it was up to me, I would roll Homeland Security into the CIA or roll the CIA into the Homeland Security. I don't see any reason for the two separate ones. I mean, what does Homeland Security do that the FBI doesn't do? Nobody knows. It's another agency that has some good people in it, but it duplicates in many ways what the FBI does. I'll be right back. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. You know, the San Francisco Bay Area is a wonderful area for a talk show because it's so off the beam in so many ways. Here you have Oakland, California, drowning in crime, and HBO is going to begin production of a pimp show, a show glorifying pimps in Oakland, California. That would be like coming to San Francisco with an HBO show glorifying the life in a day of a gangbanger. It's unbelievable to me how the bottom, there's no bottom. There's just no bottom to the madness. There's no bottom to the reality. There's just no bottom to the pollution, the mental pollution, and there's no bottom to the political class that would permit this to be filmed in Oakland, California. But this is par for the course. I watched the show last night. I did watch it, I have to admit, on HBO. I was searching around for a movie, and there weren't any called Hunts Point, 5 years later, about hookers in Hunts Point, New York. And, you know, you watch it with a certain degree of fascination, the women who work the streets, and then you get disgusted, and then you start to feel bad for the women. At the end of the day, you wish that somebody could, like nuns could go and protect these women. They're most of them look like they're innocent drug addicts who are naive. They're stupid. A lot of them remind me of the kids I taught in the seventh grade. Most of them don't even have a seventh grade education. And to think that human beings walk around with this mindset and the government doesn't do anything to stop it. Why does New York look the other way from this level of street walking, and particularly when you know that they're spreading herpes and AIDS? How in the world can you think that this kind of that approval of prostitution is something healthy for society? How could you think that? On every level, it's a meltdown. Anyway, it's not a major, you know, topic for me. It's just in passing, filming a pimp show in Oakland, California. As I say, that would be the equivalent of HBO filming a show, Day in the Life of a Tattooed Gangbanger in San Francisco, where we have a, you know, a murder epidemic. There's a scandal brewing inside the police department, by the way, that I'm going to tell you about in a day or two. I got an inside report about a transsexual who flunked an exam who was passed anyway for lieutenant, who is now going to give diversity training to straight cops, him herself. Him herself is now going to teach the straight cops in the SFPD why it's good to be a transsexual and how they should be sensitive to transsexuals on the street. Only in San Francisco on the mayor, Ding Dong Tusum Newsom, who would be governor. But it's Hobson's choice whether Ding Dong Tusum Newsom would be a worse governor than Moonbeam Brown. It's hard to know which one would be would destroy the state even worse, even more. It's hard to know. It's hard to know. You have the chief law enforcement officer for the state of California, Jerry Brown, the attorney general, says, although my job is to uphold the ballot initiative that was voted upon by millions of people, I'm going to go against the people and the ballot initiative because I need the money from the homosexual mafia. Unbelievable. He wants to be governor? The nerve of these people. They're liberal fascists. They don't even understand that just because they're nice people and they mean well, that it doesn't mean that they're doing the right thing, that they could be doing very bad things. Very evil things. That evil comes in various forms. That evil even comes in the form of a nice person who thinks he's doing good. In fact, the road to you nowhere is paved with good intentions. You understand that? Yes. Yes, 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 yes. 1-800-4. You want to talk about Silly Marin? Now, I don't mean the county of Marin. We can talk about Silly Marin if you want. The county. Or we can talk about Silly Marin, the herbal extract from milk thistle, and how it saved the livers of an entire family that ate Amanita, the toxic mushroom, the death cap mushroom. It's funny that I saw this story because, just around New Year's, I went up to a property I own on a hill, a little farm property, and it was after a rain under a Monterey pine. I picked some mushrooms. I don't know mushrooms really very well. I wouldn't eat them, but they fascinated me. And they didn't look like Amanita. I mean, I pretty much think I know what Amanita is, but I know well enough to know I don't know. So I picked them using paper napkins, not touching them, and I brought them back to the house. And they're still sitting there on the counter with a big sign to the housekeepers, do not eat. But, man, I'd like to go out with a mycologist in the Bay Area and learn more about mushrooms. They fascinate me. They're phenomenally interesting plants. But they can kill you with a little meal. And here it is, an herbal an herbal extract, Silly Marin from milk thistle. Save their livers. Tell that to the Mayo Clinic
Savage
dummies.
Warning, the Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Palestinian doctor at Shifa Hospital says that when the Israeli airstrikes began last week, the first casualties they saw were fighters in military uniform. But after that day, until this day, he says, we didn't receive any men from the resistance or anyone in the military. All of them were civilians.
That's Mata Hari herself, CNN's Christiane Amanpour, their girl in Beirut. And, of course, she wasn't there in Bombay during the massacre by her fellow travelers from the Islamist world. But she's right on the spot. You might call her a Jenny on the spot if it was a laughing matter. But it isn't a laughing matter. Phone number here is 1-800-449-8255. There are so many topics, I can't review them. Today, of course, Nancy Big Chin Pelosi was renominated for Speaker of the House. And the first thing she did was say she's going to change the rules so Republicans have no power whatsoever. There was something from yesterday that I have to play for you. It was a new low for CNN. there's a dummy named Kyra Phillips. I try to rank them in terms of low IQ, and it's very hard to know. The ditzes in the media, the lipstick brigade. But I would say Kyra Phillips on a level of intelligence has to be at the bottom, near the bottom, let's say lowest percentile of intelligence. She seems like a clueless, nice woman who has no idea what she's talking about. And yesterday on CNN, this woman, Kyra Phillips, talked to a 9-year-old boy who had brain cancer. You talk about exploitation without knowledge of the exploitation. Listen to clip 16.
Tell me, how did you find out that you had a brain tumor? You were not feeling so well for a while, right? Can you tell me what happened?
July 3rd and 4th, I was throwing up for no reason. And then afterwards, I would go and eat cotton candy.
All right, I don't want to play the child anymore. It's tragic, a child with cancer. But to see a news hackette like this, hitting such a new low. I mean, it's below the psycho Nancy Graceless. Nancy Graceless is well known to be the most psychotic in the business, according to my studies. If you look at her eyes, you know this woman belongs in a bug house. I mean, they could reopen Creedmoor to put these women in there. It's like the snake. They need to reopen a snake pit and put the women of the media in there. I know this borders on the misogynist, but the fact of the matter is these women belong in a madhouse. This is unbelievable to me. Kyra Phillips goes to a 9-year-old with brain cancer and asks him in such a manner, tell us, how was it? You got to listen to the voice. Just play it again, that part, without the kid.
Tell me, how did you find out that you had a brain tumor? You were not feeling so well for a while, right? Can you tell me what happened?
You hear this? You were not feeling so well for a while, like leading question. Draw the child out to talk about his brain tumor for a little ratings for CNN. Kyra, honey, it's not too late. Take the cloth. You can still take the cloth, Kyra. You can give up the lipstick. You don't have to look like a post-op transvestite much longer. Take the cloth, Kyra. Go into a nunnery and be forgotten. Please, you can still save your soul. I wouldn't even say that to Nancy Grace. That woman can't save her soul. She's too far gone. You know, be a great justice in the world. I just thought of it. If there is such a place as the opposite of heaven, if it's not just fiction, that Bernie Madoff gets to live with Nancy Grace for the rest of eternity. I can't imagine that one. That would be a fabulous one. So anyway, you expect the government to put Madoff in jail? What? Cows in Berkeley? Yeah, right. Farms in Berkeley? Justice in government? Moo. No way. No way. Now we have Leon Panetta to head up the CIA. Sapdat Gupta to head up the Surgeon General's job. This is going to be a fun couple of years in talk radio. The minute Obama's allowed to do what he wants, he picks an unknown guy from Monterey, from the Institute of Squidology, Leon Panetta, to head up the CIA. The guy looks like a cross between Peter Sellers and Inspector Clouseau movies, with no experience for this job, and now Sanjay Gupta from CNN to be the Surgeon General. I mean, I thought it would be a serious problem to be on the air with Obama in office. I think it's simply going to be like Mad Comic, you know. What's the difference? I mean, I'm having a good time here. Billionaire commits suicide by train. Yeah, that's the German guy. He lost a fortune. Not with Madoff. He just lost a fortune, threw himself in front of a train. What are these? These are horrible ways to do it. I don't want to joke about suicide. It's not a joking matter, but I mean, we've probably all thought about it. I certainly wouldn't throw myself in front of a train. I mean, I could open the question up, how would you do it if you're going to, let's not do that. Hanging yourself? That has to be horrible, painful. Have you ever heard of a bottle of pills and a jug of wine? I mean, or something? Vodka and pills. I mean, what are you talking about? Hanging yourself in a cell, throwing yourself around in a train, cutting your wrists in a garbage. The guy in Westchester who lost his money to Madoff, the French aristocrat. This guy was so anal retentive, God rest his soul, that not only did he didn't even want to get blood on the floor of his study, apparently cut his wrists and held his wrists over a garbage can while he bled to death on pills. He didn't even want to ruin the rug. Oh, God, I know people. the human condition, it's not the pathos is starting to come out. And today they have a big pomp and circumstance. And the ladies and gentlemen, the 90,000th, Nancy Pelosi is reelected to the Speaker of the House. Here comes a big chin Pelosi. Oh, boy. I think the entire political class is melting down, by the way. Here in California, we have Moonbeam Brown, who poses as a centrist moderate. He comes up with a cockamamie legal theory. He invents it in order to overturn the same-sex marriage ban that was fairly and squarely voted on. And this man thinks the people are going to forget it when they go to vote. They're never going to forget it. The problem is that there are no conservatives running for office in the state of California. Either they're to the left or to the far left or to the zany left. You have no choice anymore. Either they're crazy, super crazy, or totally insane. That's what we have a choice right now. That's a choice in politics. And that's because most people who are legitimate and sane don't go into politics. I know wealthy men. None of them went into politics. None of them want to go into politics. And that's the problem. The political class, by and large today, is a class of, let us say, less than the top of the heap. They're not the cream of the crop. I don't want to use the analogies, the sharpest pencil in the pack, blah, 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 blah. They're funny, and you could play with that. Let's put it to you this way. They're not a 300-watt bulb. If you went into a bulb store, the governor of the state of California that we have right now is probably a 90. That's with the most power he can muster. Good-looking guy, very Rommel-like. I mean, he could have played in the Young Lions when he was young. I admit it. A good-looking movie actor, Arnold Schwarzenegger. But as far as, you know, mental voltage, all right, I'm not sure it's there. I'm not saying he's stupid. 95 with a fish strudel. I'll be right back. Savage.
Let me ask you this. What do you think are the best qualities for the next CIA director? Is hands-on direct intelligence experience necessary?
I can't really comment on that.
You know, I ordered the Southern Sampler just because I couldn't make up my mind. Since, as I said, I eat there quite a bit. So you know, I wasn't sure what I was in the mood for. I said, well, you just bring me a little something. You know, it's not gourmet cuisine. But that's not why I go to Dixie Kitchen. You know, I'm not looking for some fancy presentation or, you know, extraordinarily subtle flavors. I mean, what I'm looking for is food that tastes good for a good price. So Dixie Kitchen, I think, is a good option.
That was a collection of sound bites, one from Leon Panetta saying he can't answer the question about whether hands-on experience is necessary to run the CIA. And then we went to an August 2001 lost episode of Senator Obama as a restaurant reviewer, and he liked the Dixie Kitchen. All I can say is that Obama's cabinet is shaping up to be rather shapeless. Let's go to the callers in Los Angeles. Liam, KGIL, another book winner. Liam, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, man, I am so happy you're on 1260 AM. I was literally having to drive up the hill over here in Pasadena to try and get these stations from San Diego, Bakersfield, Las Vegas, New Mexico. It was getting out of control. But now, 1260 AM, 3 o'clock. Thank goodness.
You're like, yeah, no, I'm gonna shake up Los Angeles again. The fact of the matter is that I have a phenomenal listenership amongst conservatives in Hollywood. I happen to know that. I met some of them. I won't mention their names. And they're all trying to come out of the closet right now. You know that. I mean, as conservatives. I only wish they had the nerve to get on the phone and call the Savage Nation right now and say, Michael, you know what? I agree with Liam, and I'm actor X or Y. I have a huge listenership in Los Angeles, and I think it's very important that I continue to stick it to them because they need a lot of sticking.
Actually, Dr. Savage, you have a lot of liberal listeners, and I think you kind of pull people over from the dark side. A lot of my liberal friends out here in the Hollywood area, hey, you know, we're driving around, I start listening to Dr. Savage, and they say, hey, this guy's pretty cool. I don't agree with
that. Right, because if they actually don't know who I am and they just hear what I have to say, I make sense. The minute they're told in advance, that they shouldn't like me. They don't like me. That's the problem, is that many of them are sheeple, and they've got to get over their sheepledom. But I'm sending you a free copy of the Electric Blue Saddle-Stitched Pants, Fat Al's Tuna, Coney Island Wax Figures, Dead Man's Pants, and all the other stories in Psychological Nudity. Liam, thanks for calling from Los Angeles on KGIL. Chicago, WIND. Kevin, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Michael, hi. Hey, you keep talking yesterday and today about Liam Panetta not being qualified for the position of CIA. At the same time, who said that Obama is qualified to be president?
Well, I have said for a long while now that Obama's, the issue was never race to me. It's the fact that he's too green, not too black. I said that a year ago, you know, 6-9 months ago. But the fact of the matter is Obama's cabinet is very amateurish. His own selections in the last 2 days show phenomenal amateurish thinking. To pick a guy like Panetta in a time of terrorism does not instill confidence in the American people, does it?
No.
How about picking Sanjay Gupta of CNN to be the Surgeon General, which came out today?
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, just what we need. Just what we need is a TV spokesmouth for drug companies to be the Surgeon General. I mean, that should disqualify him immediately to be Surgeon General. If you come out of the media, how could you go to work as a Surgeon General? How is it possible?
Easy. You got selected by Obama.
Well, that means some corporation selected him for Obama.
Probably.
Follow the money. Thanks for the call. 1-800-449-8255. We go to New York City. WOR. Tammy, you're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Dr. Savage, thank you, first of all, for keeping me halfway sane. I'm appalled at the reaction, the worldwide reaction to Israel going into Gaza, because I'm so sick and tired of hearing about Israel needing to show restraint.
Israel showed restraint for well over a year. Now Israel unleashed its military. And by the way, let's not celebrate civilian casualties, even though they're being used as human shields by the Palestinians, which we know about. They're firing rockets, mortars from schools. That's well-established tactics of that side. We've known it since the Yasser Arafat days. They want their children to die because the cameras are ready to roll. But we shouldn't celebrate that. You understand that? No one should celebrate that.
Right. Absolutely. But then
Nor should we diminish the tragedy of the death of innocent people in war. However, if you provoke a nation state long enough, they're going to react. And there's no way to do a surgical strike each and every time. In fact, the Israelis killed their own men by accident yesterday with a shell from a tank. They killed three of their own men. Terrible things happen in war. Civilians die. Your own men die. War is hell. But the fact of the matter is a sovereign nation has a duty to defend its citizens. I only wish our government would defend us from the onslaught of illegal aliens. Not by using tanks and airplanes, but by building a fence the way the Israelis built a fence around the West Bank. That's what we need in America now. We don't need open borders. We need closed borders. Thanks for the call. I'm not going to get into celebrating it and justifying civilian deaths. I won't go there. I just won't get involved with that. I really won't. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Any topic is fair game, either on my website or on the show. San Antonio, Brian, you're up on the Savage Nation. Topic, please.
Hey, Mike, for your next political satire, it's going to be Pontius Panetta like Pontius Pilate. And the reason I say that is here he is as a Catholic, and I grew up on the peninsula, so I know him. He would go, I'd see him at Mass regularly. My older brother played ball at with his son Jimmy, and here you'd see him regularly at Mass receiving communion, taking the Eucharist, and he is the same guy to wash his hands of anything that's moral that the Catholic doctrine actually teaches and believes in, just as Nancy Pelosi, and it's ridiculous.
Well, you're saying because he's a dyed-in-the-wool liberal, meaning he'll accept homosexual marriage in the CIA, he'll accept the entire left-wing agenda for the CIA, is that what you're saying?
That and the abortion issue. And here he is again.
Well, I don't think abortion has much to do with running the CIA, nor does the gay issue have anything to do with the CIA, unless he starts stocking the CIA with diversity employees. I'm more concerned with the fact that he has no experience in the intelligence community. Frankly, it wouldn't matter to me if the person was gay or or straight. It doesn't matter at all. I'd rather a CIA veteran who worked in the field as a spy. I wouldn't care what he does with his sexual life after work. Coming up next, by the way, is a many-year CIA veteran, Michael Scheuer. He's the author of Marching Towards Hell. He'll be with us. He's been a longtime critic of the CIA, going back a long time, many administrations. But Scheuer has worked the CIA for many years, doing some very dangerous missions. And he's going to tell us what he thinks about Panetta.
Savage.
Is the Savage Nation. We're playing the Pink Panther music because Inspector Clouseau reminds me, the character Inspector Clouseau, played by Peter Sellers, reminds me of Leon Panetta. I mean, physically, they look very, very similar. But this is not a laughing matter. Why did Obama do this? It shocked the world. His spy pick shocked the world. Joining us is a 20-year CIA veteran, former chief of the Osama bin Laden unit, Michael Scheuer, welcome to the Savage Nation. I'm glad you're with us because you've been there and done that. I know that you've been a critic of the CIA for many years. Are you as disturbed by this suggested appointment as I am?
Yeah, I think I am, sir. I've been very critical of the political leadership, not really of the agency. I think the agency is a very sound organization. But certainly when you look at Mr. Panetta's curriculum vitae, there's nothing on it that suggests he has any kind of competence in terms of defense policy or foreign policy or intelligence work.
So that leads us to the next question. Why would Obama have chosen this man?
I suspect because he's going to have an easy time getting through the review process in the Senate, sir. He's a 30-year Democratic Party apparatchik. He knows where the skeletons are buried for most of the party, and he'll probably have a very easy time going through.
Well, that's what I said, is that the man was chosen. Yesterday I said he was chosen to protect Obama's back, not to protect America's back. I think that summarizes it. But that should worry people.
Absolutely worry people, sir. You know, I think the question is not whether Mr. Panetta is a good man or a bad man. I think he probably is a talented individual. I think the question that needs to be asked is this the best we can do for America?
But particularly in a time of terror. That's all we've been hearing about is terror this, terror that, terror this, terror that. This is not an ordinary appointment such as Commerce, which is just a political figurehead that has to placate a certain group. This is a very serious job. Look, here's the real question. I said earlier today, Michael, you've done field work. You've been out there as a spy in the field. I would think that anyone who risks his or her life in such a dangerous position would like to know that the man at the top understands intimately what is at stake when a call comes down from the field and you need your behind saved, you need someone up there who knows what you're talking about. How can you can expect a bureaucrat to do that? And since you could not do that with a guy like Panetta, I think it's going to demoralize the agency.
Oh, I think that's right, sir. And I just to make things clear, I spent most of my life managing operations from Washington. I was in the field a little bit, but I was not a full-time operative in the field. But I think
has there any other than the beginning of the agency, the OSS, Major Donovan? Has there been an actual agent who worked as a spy who then became the head of the agency?
I think, sir, the answer to that is just Bill Casey.
Bill Casey was a field operative?
He was a field operative for the OSS, yes, he was.
Now, which of the agency heads wound up floating in a canoe in the Potomac River after he retired?
I'm not sure which one that was, sir, if that was Mr.
I think it was during the Clinton administration, another strange passing. His dinner was still on the oven in his house on the Potomac, and the boat was empty. But I think it was one of the old guard, which leads us down the road. Who else is qualified for this job who Obama could still pick?
Well, you know, sir, I don't know off the top of my head, but certainly where I would look is for the first time since Vietnam, America has a bounty of 2- and 3-star generals who have combat experience, recent, against the Islamist target. And they know what's worked well between military and intelligence operations and what has not. And it seems to me there's a wealth of generals out there that could do a far better job more quickly than Mr. Panetta.
Well, right. And let's start with a general who served in Iraq who speaks Arabic, such as General Abizad, for example. I'm picking one out of several who come to mind. Wouldn't they be wonderful choices? I think you're right about that. I earlier said that I would pick someone from the military, but I had a caller who disagreed with me who said that the military mindset is that of very rigid two-dimensional thinking. But that's not necessarily so. I can't say that for sure. But I certainly think that the troops in the CIA would rather have a military man with experience, particularly one who is Arabic-speaking, rather than a bureaucrat or apparatchik such as Panetta.
I think that's right, sir. And there will be a great contrast because for a long time the agency has been a dumping ground for party hacks. George Tenet, James Woolsey, John Deutsch, Porter Goss. And with General Hayden there, General Hayden is very well thought of in the agency. He understands clandestine operations. He encourages them. And he also was the first director in the last 15 years who would publicly defend the agency for doing what the president told him to do.
Yes, but General Hayden, who said that he's ready, willing, and able to maintain his position, meaning keep his job, is being dismissed by Obama. They want a clean sweep. They want to put in their own party hacks. Here's a question that really concerns me, and I had you on primarily for this question, Mr. Scheuer. My deepest fear is that the CIA will become a tool of the Obama administration to spy on their own enemies internally. That's what I fear the most. Any validity to that concern?
I think the agency, there's enough people with integrity in the agency that will not happen, sir. I could believe it of the FBI, but not of the agency, but I have a bias in that regard. I think
okay.
The greater danger is that Mr. Panetta and President-elect Obama are going to dismantle the rendition program, which has been the single most important counterterrorism program the United States has ever run.
And okay, hold it. Now, the rendition program is the interrogation unit?
Well, no, first you have to capture them, sir. And first you capture them, and then they go to prisons here or somewhere else. And then you can question them. But the 14 or 15 people who are in jail with Khalid Sheikh Mohammed in Guantanamo Bay is the result of the CIA rendition program. And people who argue that the rendition program has been unsuccessful, I'm very sure would not want those people still on the street.
Well, I keep saying that despite all of the naysayers, we have not been attacked since 9/11. That means the FBI, the CIA, Homeland Security, local agencies have done their job. Wouldn't you agree that that's true?
I think there's some truth to that, sir. I'm very concerned, though, that part of the reason we haven't been attacked is because they're not ready to do it yet or not willing to commit. I think as long as our borders remain open, sir, we can never think we're well defended.
Well, that's a given. I agree with you on that. So you actually have an apocalyptic view of the enemy, which is that they're still waiting for the nuclear option.
Oh, I think that's right, sir. I think that's exactly what they want to do. And the circumstances we face right now in terms of the really drastic economic problems we have are just made to order for another attack because their goal is to drive us to bankruptcy.
Right. And, of course, our own internal enemies in the SEC and on Wall Street did a better job than Osama bin Laden in destroying Wall Street.
Sir, the two gifts that we've given to bin Laden was first the war in Iraq and now this meltdown because of the greed and the incompetence of the people who were supposed to watch Wall Street.
Yeah, the SEC didn't do their job, and they may as well have worked for Osama bin Laden. So if I were to say to you, who would you pick? You came up with a generic choice, a combat experienced Iraq general.
Yeah,
certainly,
yeah.
A general certainly has managerial experience.
Yes, sir.
But more than having simply managerial experience, they also have the ability to lead people and instill confidence in a governmental agency that's created specifically to spy on enemies. Isn't that what it's for?
That's exactly right, sir. It's to protect the United States of America, not to be just sitting around doing not getting in trouble. If you're going to
right, but it's a spy agency. Let's never forget its major mission. It is a spy agency. It's not anything else. And yet it's become something more. It's become a combination of any other government agency, which is sort of a social welfare division of the U.S. government, where they put party hacks to make big salaries and give speeches.
It's a very sad situation, sir. I think America deserves far better than Mr. Panetta, no matter how talented he is.
All right. Given that Panetta would not answer questions today, Mr. Scheuer, as to whether or not he would accept this position, do you think that Obama's simply running it up the flagpole, so to speak, to see what the reaction is? And do you think that there's still a chance he will withdraw his name?
I think that could happen, sir. I doubt it, but I think it could. The one thing that is very interesting, of course, is the hatred for President Bush is so palpable here that they say they had to appoint Mr. Panetta because he had clean hands. He didn't do anything with the rendition program. Well, when he was chief of staff for President Clinton, we were running the rendition program, and we were sending people to Egyptian jails and other Arab jails. The rendition program under Mr. Clinton was much more brutal than the program that has occurred under Mr. Bush. So it will be interesting to see if anybody in the Democratic Party who wants to destroy that program will ask Mr. Panetta why he didn't object to it when he was in a position to do so.
I kind of doubt that any one of the senators or whoever's on the Intelligence Committee who has oversight over this selection will ask that question. It's a shame you can't ask the question. But I guarantee you, I guess that you're a persona non grata. Is that correct in the agency today?
Correct, yes.
Yeah, you wouldn't be very popular in Washington right now. You'd be as popular as a conservative or liberal talk show host coming to Washington. I'd like to do this. I'd like to open the question board up on the Savage Nation, because it's rare that we have someone who really worked in the agency on the show, someone I respect greatly, Michael Scheuer, 20-year CIA veteran. But more than that, you were the chief of the Osama bin Laden unit, and you've been on the show before. And I asked you, how many times when you were working under Bill Clinton did you have Obama in your sights? And didn't you say several?
10, sir.
You had Obama bin Laden in your sights 10 times. You were ready to take him out with a missile strike, and Clinton said no, correct?
We had two chances to capture him, sir, using CIA assets. And on 8 different occasions, we had precise targeting information that was provided to the military, and they would have killed him, because the agency did not have lethal authority to go ahead and kill him.
What about under George W. Bush? Do you think that they had Obama in their sights during this eight-year period?
Yes, sir, we had one chance at Tora Bora in Afghanistan in December of 2001. And between then and when I resigned from the agency in 2004, that was the only chance. I'm not in a position to tell you if they've had a chance since then, sir.
But why did the Bush administration also choose not to strike OBL?
I think that was less the president's fault than the generals. Going into those mountains would have been very costly in terms of American lives, and so they subcontracted the job to a couple of Afghans, notwithstanding the fact that those Afghans had fought alongside bin Laden against the Soviets.
Oh, God. I'm only laughing out of sadness. Bureaucracies and I don't get along. It's why I work alone here on the Savage Nation. All right, it's 1-800-449-8255. If you have a quick 10, 15-second question for Michael Scheuer, CIA veteran, about the choice of Leon Panetta to run the CIA, now is your one and only chance. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Savage Nation, we're talking about Obama's cabinet as it's shaping up, and it seems to be shapeless, picking Panetta as CIA director, Gupta from CNN to be the Surgeon General. I mean, what's next? Richard Simmons as Energy Secretary? This is getting crazier by the day. Joining us again is Michael Scheuer, CIA veteran of 20 years, chief of the OBL unit for a number of years. His book is Marching Toward Hell. Michael Scheuer, welcome back to the Savage Nation. Let's go to our first caller on KXL in Portland, Oregon. Ralph, welcome to the program. What's your question for Mr. Scheuer?
Well, do you think it's possible that Obama may be trying to inhibit the use of intelligence by running it through Congress and wanting court approval for Intelligence Act activities. After all, information has to be acquired, it's got to be analyzed and interpreted, and then it has to be put into the hands of those who could use it. And by the way, that was Bill Colby in that canoe accident. He commanded the Norwegian Special Operations Group mission into North Norway in 1945.
He commanded that one that took out the heavy water plant in Norway?
No, not the heavy water plant at Rutgen, but the SNOSA. They attacked the Northland Railroad line.
Well, that's a whole separate story that I'm fascinated by, and I'd love to learn more about it a little later. But going back to Mr. Scheuer, do you think Obama is trying to limit intelligence, Michael?
I think that's the impact he's going to have, sir. Not whether he wants it or not, I can't read his mind. But certainly the impression that the agency's going to have is they're going to unleash Carl Levin and Ed Markey to exact a pound of flesh from the agency for running the rendition program. So I think it'll have a chilling effect one way or another.
What is this obsession with coddling terrorists? Why does the left think that people who would set off a nuclear bomb in a city are deserving of humanitarian treatment? What is the psychology of these people?
You know, I don't know what it is, sir. I never thought the Constitution extended to people who were trying to kill us, but apparently they believe it does. I think the answer to the problem is to declare these people prisoners of war and throw them in a stockade as we did the Japanese and the Germans, and just forget about them till the war is over. But people smarter than me are going to make those decisions.
Well, I know what you mean by people smarter than you. They don't happen to be working in Congress. Houston, Texas. AJ, you're up on the Savage Nation. Question for Mr. Scheuer.
Hey, how you doing, sir? Hey, you know what? There's people smarter than you. It look like we don't have nobody smarter, but I want to know how in the world did Obama come up with this pick, sir? I mean, I'm just an average, natural black guy, and I'm already mad because, you know, I feel bad because this guy got a lot of baggage coming behind him. How is this pick so relevant? And this guy don't know nothing. Where did he get it from?
Yeah, why? Look, he could have picked many different party apparatchiks. Even Feinstein was caught flat-footed. Who do you think? That's a great question, Michael. Who do you think advised Obama to pick Panetta? Even Panetta was shocked.
I think it would have to probably be the Clintons.
The Clinton team.
Very close to the
so,
Clinton.
Well, let's play. Let's use our chess brains here, Michael. Hillary Clinton's going to be Secretary of State. She wants to take a guy she can trust, who they own, and put him into the CIA. So therefore, she wants to use him for what?
Well, I think she wants to, you know, my own impression, sir, is that she's going to play the game. She wants to be able to be not only in control of the State Department, but also have people that will respond to her wishes at various other places around the government.
Particularly, well, wait a minute. Then Obama's not a stupid man. He can't see this?
Well, you know, he's a very inexperienced man.
Yes.
I think to trust.
Yeah, but can't he see the tentacles of the Clinton crowd putting tentacles around him? He can't see the tentacles slithering around his back?
Well, you would think he could, couldn't you, sir?
Well, I'm actually starting to think that he's just simply another empty suit that was put up for the position, that he's a figurehead, and he's not as smart as people say he is, and he's way over his head. I mean, I saw what looked like assistant professor going to teach for the first day when he came to Washington yesterday. He looked like a guy who was, frankly, intimidated by the position.
Well, clearly, he's probably the least experienced president we've ever had. I can't imagine anyone had less pertinent experience, but...
Yeah, but people said, look at what an experienced man like George Bush did to us. How much worse can it be? The answer is, it can be a lot worse. It could be 2,000 or 25,000 degrees over Houston, Texas, God forbid.
Well,
you know, Michael Scheuer, your book is great, and I really recommend that people read your book. I really wish you great luck. As a CIA veteran, I hope we can have you back here on the Savage Nation in the very near future.
It's always an honor, sir.
Thank you for being with us. Up next is KT McFarland with a report on the international implications of the crisis in Gaza. You know, we haven't overlooked the big kahuna here. And the reason we're not talking much about Gaza is that it has been talked about for 60, 70 years now. I don't have an answer to the problem. If I did, it would have been done already. I think pretty smart people have tried to resolve this problem. I don't think it's ever going to be resolved. It's biblical. And I have no idea how to solve the problem anymore. And that's why we can't talk about it. I throw my hands up. But if you want to talk about it, this is the place to do it. It's the Savage Nation. Visit me online at michaelsavage.com. Thank you very much for listening thus far.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
But here's some of the things we've been talking about in the Savage Nation. Why are the oligarchs still pretending that we live in a democracy? You know, watching the senators being sworn in today, you'd think that these corrupt charlatans, these Whigs, took their duty as representatives of the people seriously. Why would they televise an ancient ritual, which is basically a fraud? Have they broken their oaths to God and the people of the United States so many times that they should just simply dispense with this charade? The charade of swearing in Nancy Pelosi. We also talked about Leon Panetta. I'm sure he's a wonderful father, a great-grandfather. I'm sure he's a certifiable good meatball cook. But is he qualified to be the chief of the CIA in a time of terror? Even liberals oppose Panetta to head up the CIA. Do you think he'll be forced to withdraw his name? Or is this all part of a power game that Obama is playing, using Panetta to watch his back, not to watch America's back? The fighting in the Gaza Strip between Israeli Defense Forces and Hamas continues even as we speak, but the situation in Gaza does not exist apart from the other nations on this planet. This tiny sliver of land experiences influences from all over the world, and the consequences of what takes place there reverberates everywhere. To talk about what reverberations could ripple from this conflict in Gaza throughout the entire world, I'd like to welcome former Reagan defense official K.T. McFarland from ktmcfarland.com. K.T., who strikes you as having the most nefarious foreign influence in the Gaza Strip today?
Thank you, Michael, and I really appreciate the opportunity to talk to you today. One thing that occurs to me in all this situation in the Middle East is Iran. You know, in politics and in life, it's often a rule of just follow the money. Well, if you follow the money in the Middle East, it always leads back to Iran. Iran's rich with petrodollars, and what it's used that money for is to pay for terrorists. You know, Iran bankrolls Hamas. Iran bankrolls Hezbollah. Iran uses its excess petrodollars to pay for its own nuclear program. So I think that this situation in the Middle East has been about Iran all along. You know, it is about Israel, it is about the Palestinians, but it's a bigger picture, which is Iran. Iran does not keep a large standing army, but it uses these paramilitary terrorist organizations as proxy armies. Hezbollah in Lebanon, which Iran founded in the early 1980s and continues to pay for and support, and now increasingly Hamas in the Palestinian region. We've got evidence that Hamas militants have gone to Iran to train. They've gone to Iran to learn how to shoot rockets. Iran has supplied the rockets that Hamas is using to shell Israel. And the other thing that happens is suicide bombers. Iran pays for suicide bombers. You know, if you're a young kid in the Middle East, a Palestinian kid, no future, no job, no education, no prospects, and you're 14, 15 years old, you're sort of radicalized anyway. Well, if you go become a suicide bomber, your family gets $25,000 via Iran to reward them for your sacrifice. So to a certain extent, a lot of these young kids are giving up their lives to feed their families. So it's always follow the money, and the money leads you back right to Iran. I also think that what is happening in the Middle East is Iran encouraged Hamas to break the ceasefire a couple of weeks ago and to increase its rocket barrage into Israel. I think in part it was to divert the world's attention, as the United States particularly is in this period of transition between presidents. Iran, by diverting the world's attention to Israel and Palestine and Hamas and the Middle East and what's going on there, it buys some time. We're not paying a lot of attention anymore to Iran's nuclear enrichment, for example. Iran is building nuclear weapons. Even the most conservative weapons experts have said Iran will have nuclear weapons before the end of Obama's first term. The International Atomic Energy Agency has even said it probably has enough enriched uranium right now to make one nuclear weapon. So somewhere between the next 4 years and probably even in the next 2 years, Iran will have nuclear weapons. What Iran is trying to do in this period of everybody focusing on the Middle East, and Iran is continuing to develop its nuclear program, it's trying to play out the clock so that within 2 years' time, say, Iran already has nuclear weapons, and that is a game changer for the entire region. I mean, not just for the world, but for the entire Middle East region. So they provoked Hamas. I think if this conflict goes on any longer, say in the next 2 or 3 weeks, they'll provoke Hezbollah. Hezbollah might open a second front on Israel's northern border with its southern Lebanon. And so that's what Iran's program here is. They've said on a regular basis that they want to destroy Israel, and I think they clearly do, but they have other motives as well. They want to expand their reach in the entire region, not just through the Persian Gulf, but also in the Levant. And to me, the exciting thing, Michael, is that the moderate Arab states are starting to recognize that Iran is the bigger threat. They look at the terrorist organizations like Hezbollah and Hamas that have destabilized Palestinian territories, that have destabilized Lebanon, and they've got to say, gee, are we next? You know, Saudi Arabia, Jordan, Egypt, Syria even. They've got to think that if Iran is successful, this is the direction they're going in. The thing also that is of interest is diplomacy. Is there any diplomatic solution here? Well, in 1973, Nixon and Kissinger realized that the Chinese and the Soviets, who had been in a great alliance, a communist alliance, that they were starting to fall out with each other. And so they were able, Nixon and Kissinger, to negotiate a whole series of agreements with Russia, with the Soviet Union, with China, in the Middle East, in Vietnam, and take advantage of that. I think that we're seeing a similar fissure now between the moderate Arab states, who realize that Iran is after them too, and Iran, which, as you, I think, coined the term Islamo-fascist, that's the direction they're going in. Another point is, how long can this war go on? Israel's got a narrow window of opportunity before the public opinion of the world becomes unbearable. And there also is the worry that if longer this goes on, Hezbollah could open a second front. You know, Israel doesn't want to occupy Gaza. They've been there, done that. And to completely destroy Gaza will probably, to completely destroy Hamas, rather, will probably take a prolonged period of time, which they don't want to do. And finally, Russia. Michael, you've, I think, talked about this before. Where is Russia in this, and why is Russia not becoming active? Well, Russia has supported Iranian nuclear program, and they've really turned a blind eye to the Middle East. But the longer this goes on, the clearer it becomes that Iran is behind most of these Islamofascist movements throughout the world. Russia's got to look and say, gee, are we potentially next? We have Chechnya. We have Islamic militants in Chechnya. We already had terrorist actions against Russia, Maine, and in Chechnya as well. And Russia's also got to look at its former Soviet territories, you know, the stans, they're called, Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan, etc., Muslim countries, and potential grounds for Islamic extremists there. So it's a long explanation, but Michael, I'm just thrilled that you're paying attention to this. I think if you do, a lot of other people will as well. This has been KT McFarland. And Michael, I'm turning this all back over to you on the Savage Nation.
KT McFarland, thanks for that update. We'll check in with you as events change. Thanks for being with us. This is the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Strange case of Leon Panetta. Leon Panetta has been named by Barack Obama to be head of the CIA. Now, Leon Panetta is a man who has no experience in intelligence. Panetta has been White House Chief of Staff for Bill Clinton. He's a virtually unknown congressman. He looks like Peter Sellers in Inspector Clouseau, just to give you some idea. And he is the head of a sort of an unknown university in Squidland in Monterey, California. Even the far leftist Dianne Feinstein has said she was shocked by the choice. Now, if the reasons for his nomination are not his qualifications, then they must be political. As White House Chief of Staff Leon Panetta has many connections. As a close friend of the Clintons, he has many more. He knows where all the bodies are buried. Could it be that it was to protect Obama, not the American people, that he was chosen to be head of the CIA? Could it be that Obama is watching his own back rather than trying to protect the United States from another terrorist attack? And today we find out that Leon Panetta has refused to confirm or deny that he's been nominated by the president. Is it not possible that Obama has made the first of many blunders in his administration? After all, his original nomination was withdrawn, even though he was a perfect choice, simply by for being attacked by left-wing bloggers for being too tough on terrorists? Did Obama move so far to the left to pick Panetta? Or is this just a strategic move to protect his own back? Perhaps Obama knows that Panetta will be rejected and have to withdraw, and then he can move forward with his real choice. What's inside the mind of Barack Obama? I'll let you, the Savage Nation, decide. Why would Obama nominate Gupta as Surgeon General of the United States? Gupta? Who is he? Is there a more naked example of the government media complex, a man from television, to be the Surgeon General? Don't you feel if Sanjay Gupta, a shill for the pharmaceutical industry, is qualified, so qualified to be Surgeon General? Absolutely. Who would be a better pick for Surgeon General? Yes, Hollywood is a liberal cesspool. We all know that. And most movie critics are caught up in the mental disorder, which is an epidemic in Los Angeles, liberalism. However, we have a sane movie critic from BigHollywood.Breitbart.com. Andrew Breitbart, please tell us about the latest film releases.
As the new year begins, we are looking down the pike at our regular crop of liberal films vying for the year's top awards. Take Milk, for example, which stars Castorwhite Sean Penn and the alleged wife-beater Josh Brolin. Though it is a hit at the art houses and the bathhouses, it probably won't break $30 million in the domestic box office. The film is set in the 70s and focuses on the fight against California's Prop 6. A ballot initiative that would have called for the firing of gay public school teachers or any teacher who openly supports gay rights. The film is overtly allegorical to the gay marriage fight going on now in California. The problems with the film started when the filmmakers chose to pretend that Harvey Milk single-handedly defeated Prop 6 and not to give any credit to former Governor Ronald Reagan and former President Gerald Ford and all they did to defeat the unpopular proposition. Furthermore, gays are portrayed as oversexed perverts throughout the film. Now, we just don't have to accept same-sex relationships, but do we have to accept bathhouses too? Another movie getting a lot of awards buzz is Sam Mendes' Revolutionary Road, starring the intensely overrated Kate Winslet and the man-boy Leonardo DiCaprio. This arthouse flick is in limited release and probably won't do well in the mainstream. It isn't getting great reviews, and for good reason. We have seen this cliche before, about how American suburbs destroy individuality and creativity, and it has been executed with more interesting scripts and with better acting. Kate Winslet gives a transparently affected performance. She and her director hubby tag team to deliver the most hate-filled, contemptuous movie of the year. After viewing the film, you can't help but feel as though Hollywood hates middle America, especially you. Frost Nixon is struggling at the box office and can safely be categorized as a big disappointment, even as an art house pick. This movie is a liberal's fantasy world. Ron Howard turns a nothing historical event into an indictment of Nixon. Another cliched Hollywood refrain, stick it to Nixon, the failed Republican. Howard has openly claimed the Frost Nixon interviews are allegorical to Bush, or in other words, he would like to get Bush to confess to his supposed crimes. The movie's lack of subtlety is matched only by its lack of drama, as this movie has the feel of a high-budget made-for-TV movie. Frost Nixon confirms the stereotype that Hollywood finds it impossible to think outside of the box. Democrat equals good, Republicans equal bad. Steven Soderbergh's Che hasn't been released yet. The four-and-a-half-hour hagiography of a left-wing mass murder will be released as two films at two different times, with the first one coming out this month. The movie cost over $30 million to make, but no one will see either of them. The movies are pretty good, but are works of fiction. Soderbergh's Che is a sweet, gentle doctor who is simply trying to bring medical care to peasants. In this supposed biopic, Castro's executioner, who murdered thousands and committed horrendous human rights violations, is nowhere to be found. If you want to avoid the awards bait and see a blockbuster, sorry, there still isn't much hope for you. Take, for example, The Day the Earth Stood Still, starring Keanu Reeves as the space alien Klaatu. This huge flop won't break $100 million at the box office when it cost around $120 million to make. This is yet another piece of environmentalist propaganda that posits that humans are not part of the Earth's natural environment, and because we are not taking care of Mother Earth, the alien Klaatu descends from outer space to save us from ourselves. Save yourself from this pile of non-biodegradable garbage. If you are looking for a right-of-center flick, try the very un-PC, pro-religion Gran Torino. Clint Eastwood gives an Oscar-worthy performance as a geriatric Dirty Harry of sorts. Finally, a movie where our hero isn't an Argentinian Marxist, a gay San Francisco politician, or a masked Australian metrosexual. It is an all-American war vet who drinks, smokes, owns guns, and is an equal opportunity offender. It's the type of actor and the type of role that renews your hope in the movies. This has been Andrew Breitbart. Check out Big Hollywood at Breitbart.com. Back to you, Michael.
Andrew Breitbart reporting from Hollywood, the belly of the liberal beast. I once told a story that I was in Fiji very late at night after a Yangona party. We were drinking Kava Kava all night. And I was in the village, I don't know, 3-4 miles away from my home village where I was staying on the collecting trip. And for some reason, I did not want to stay in that village. I just didn't want to stay there. I don't know what it was. And it was like the middle of the night, and I was compelled to walk back to the other village. Now, my guide didn't want to go with me. And he said, Michael, are you sure you want to go at night? I said, yes, I've got to get out of here. I haven't any idea why. And I left on my own, and I said, I'll find my way back. Well, I walked back along the edge of on a trail. It was on the edge of a bluff. I knew the ocean was below, and it was crashing below me. I could hear that, and I could vaguely see it. It was a dark night. It was not even a moonlit night. But I followed the footpath, and I got back safely. The next morning, my guide showed up, and he said to me, do you have any idea what you walked on? I said, no. He said, well, come back with me. We went back on the path. In some places, the path had less than 2 inches of soil to the right of the path, and I would have fallen a couple of hundred feet to my death. And, of course, the liberals would have been much better off, I'm sure, without me. But I didn't. Now, how do you explain that? I didn't see the path. I kind of felt my way in the dark. That's not a religious or supernatural experience on one hand. On the other hand, could you say that an angel was guiding my feet? Or did I get killed then and did I die and is this all a dream? Did you ever have one of those? Maybe I'm dead. Maybe you're dead and imagining you're listening to me.
Savage.
The Madoff scandal constitutes a financial holocaust. In Germany in the 1930s, as Hitler and the Nazis rose to power, the Jewish people, most of whom couldn't imagine that someone truly wanted to wipe them off the face of the earth, went quietly and without protest when they were put on the trains to the death camps, with very few exceptions. Madoff perpetrated a crime of this scale on a financial level. He targeted Jews, mainly liberal Jews. And he has led these liberal Jews into financial gas chambers. And again, there is virtually no protest. Remember, Madoff chose his victims carefully. He realized, just as Hitler realized, that the nice liberal Jewish person would be unlikely to suspect or act out against one of their own. Just as there were capos in the concentration camps, they were Jews who acted on behalf of the Nazis to destroy their own. Madoff stalked Jewish organizations and country clubs, and now that they have been led to the slaughter, his victims are shockingly silent. No protests, no angry mobs outside his building, nothing. Where is the anger? Now, we hear liberal Jews occasionally rail against conservatives, but when it comes to speaking out against one of their own, a liberal investor, a Democrat Party contributor, who has perpetrated the worst kind of fraud, we hear nothing but the sound of silence. How they stopped themselves from rioting in the streets outside his building is difficult to understand. why they don't protest in front of his apartment or outside one of his houses or outside a courthouse is amazing. Until they wake up, like the Jews of Israel have finally awoken against their mortal foe, they are finished. The SEC's lack of oversight and their seemingly selective enforcement of the nation's securities laws and regulations has caused this financial mess that may take years for us to recover from. Unfortunately, this lack of oversight may lead to another even larger problem. Joining us today is Frank Gaffney, columnist for the Washington Times and president of the Center for Security Policy, to talk about his commentary in the Washington Times about what may be happening next. Frank Gaffney, welcome back to the Savage Nation.
Michael, it's great to be back with you. Thanks for having me.
What is your article about?
Well, unfortunately, the SEC, the Securities and Exchange Commission, has had a rather bad run over the past 6 months to a year. Succession of problems involving our financial sector in particular have signaled a degree of failure to engage in the kind of oversight they are expected to perform, in some cases downright incompetence. And so whether it's the problems with Bear Stearns or other five or so of the biggest Wall Street firms that even its own inspector general determined had been egregiously inadequately monitored, whether it is the problem that we saw most recently with Bernie Madoff, who managed to pull off a $50 billion Ponzi scheme over 20 years under the noses of the SEC, or whether it's the next shoe to drop, as I put it. We clearly have had difficulties with the SEC, and I'm afraid they're about to get worse, especially when that next shoe does drop.
What is this other potential problem?
Well, the next shoe to drop, as I call it, is likely to be implications of a phenomenon known as Sharia-compliant finance. Sharia, of course, being the term that authoritative Islam uses to describe its program, its doctrine, its laws. It's sort of a comprehensive, unified field theory for how everything in the world should be run. And finance is being used increasingly, Sharia-compliant finance, that is being used increasingly as a kind of financial instrument for bringing about the ultimate end state that Sharia requires, namely a global theocracy, the world run by a single religious figure, under Islam, of course, ruling pursuant to Sharia law. And we've had people in this Sharia-compliant finance industry describe their products, their business, as financial jihad, jihad being the term used to describe warfare employed to bring about this end state, this global theocracy. And it's very worrying that the SEC has not been monitoring these kinds of products and their penetration of our capital markets, let alone warning investors that what these products entail implicitly, if not explicitly, is an embrace of this this seditious program of Sharia, namely this idea that we need to bring into this country an Islamic doctrine that will supplant our own constitution and form of government if allowed to run its course. That's something that I think is the next and very worrying shoe that will drop on the SEC.
Isn't anybody paying attention to this?
Well, I think Michael Savage is paying a lot of attention to this, thank God. And fortunately, a few other folks are. We at the Center for Security Policy are spending a lot of time on it. We've had some interest in various aspects of this this whole Sharia, what I call stealth jihad, that Fox News, for example, has picked up on. And, of course, in my column in the Washington Times, I'm covering it with for regularity. But we've not had nearly the attention that it requires. One of the few legislators who's really focused on this has been Senator John Kyle, a senior member of the Senate Finance Committee. We've also had Congresswoman Sue Myrick, Congressman Frank Wolf expressing concerns about these kinds of developments as well. But look, this is the kind of thing that, if it weren't a stealth jihad, would be getting a lot more attention, because it is it's largely running under the radar horizon.
Why don't we hear about this?
I think part of what's going on here, and it's not unique to the SEC. In fairness to them, I think we have to say that the Treasury Department has been derelict. The Federal Reserve Board has been derelict. Even the Justice Department has been derelict in appreciating the true character of this Sharia agenda. But why? I think in part it's because of the very financial crisis that that has happened on the SEC's watch. In no short measure, are dependent upon funds that are now largely in the hands of people who are promoting Sharia, specifically those in the Persian Gulf who have benefited from the enormous transfer of wealth, really unprecedented in the history of the world, transfer of wealth in peacetime from one population to another in the form of petrodollars. And now in order to recycle those petrodollars, we have those in the U.S. government saying, listen, if these guys want to attach strings like Sharia compliance to getting that money back, that's fine. We're not going to ask any hard questions. We're not going to require the same kind of disclosure and transparency and due diligence that we require of everybody else. And as a result, I think that's contributing tremendously, both within the government and, for that matter, frankly, in the press and in the public at large, to a lack of awareness of this very sinister, I call it a Trojan horse, that's been moved into our capital markets in the form of Sharia-compliant finance.
Where does it go from here under Obama?
Well, clearly, the incoming administration and Congress have made it well understood, they intend more regulations in lots of these different areas. So I don't think the SEC will go away in the sense of a regulatory mechanism. It may be reorganized. It may be combined with other government agencies with additional responsibilities. But I think there is going to be some oversight as to what on earth has been happening under the SEC over the past few years. Well, in the Madoff case, it goes back far longer than that. And this isn't a partisan critique. This has been happening under both Democrats and Republicans. But it is a problem that has reached a level of acuteness, especially with respect to this relatively new phenomenon of Sharia-compliant finance, that I hope the Congress, and for that matter the Obama administration, will take very seriously and, more importantly, take corrective action.
What can we, the people, do?
Well, there are people who are becoming increasingly aware of the implications of Sharia writ large, not just in the financial area, but other efforts to insinuate this theopolitical legal program into our country to advance sort of this idea of parallel societies that are going to become increasingly problematic in the United States, as they have, in fact, in Europe. We've seen lots of evidence of this lately in terms of the insinuation of Sharia into Western societies, not just here. And I think becoming aware of that decided danger is the first order for all of us. What we need to do beyond that as a people is, I think, recognize that there needs to be a very serious line drawn between religious practice, which we respect and we tolerate and is enshrined in our Constitution, freedom of religion, and a political program that is being advanced under the guise of religion in the form of this program called Sharia. And I think we need to recognize that anybody who espouses Sharia and seeks to bring about a caliphate, this global theocracy, and in the process to destroy through violent means if necessary, or through stealthy jihad, if that's not possible, the elimination of other governments, including ours, that's sedition. And it has to be understood as such, and it has to be resisted as such. And I think as more people become aware of this danger and become acquainted with the necessity of resisting it, we will find lots of ways in which to help legislators focus on this, to help the new administration address it, to help the SEC and other regulators counter it, and in other ways make sure that we are, in fact, not through this insidious stealth jihad, undermined and ultimately destroyed as a people.
Frank Gaffney, thanks for being on the Savage Nation.
Thanks, Michael. It's always a pleasure to have a chance to talk with you about these important issues.
This is the Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere. Savage. Now, you thought you had an election, and in a way you did, but you really didn't see the election. What you saw were the shadows on the wall, but you have to have read Plato to understand what I mean by the shadows on the wall. You didn't actually see what went on. You just saw the shadows on the wall. You didn't actually see the actors. In the days of ancient Rome, emperors such as Septimus Severus would give unlimited free wheat to the poor. He would stage costly circus games in order to pacify the populace with food and entertainment. They realized then that bread and circuses were a good way of avoiding popular unrest. Today, not much has changed, except that we have more bread and better circuses. Across the United States, patriotism is dead. American industry is being gutted by globalists. But there is no outcry. American culture is destroyed by socialists, but its citizens are asleep. America's sovereignty is challenged by China, Iran, North Korea, and Mexico. But don't ask the average American to respond. They're watching Paris Hilton on TV. They're stuffing their fat faces with junk food, processed bread, electronic pornography. America is fat, sated, and silent. It is asleep. As long as Americans have their cheap food, America will slumber. As long as the flow of pornography continues over the cable systems, through the satellite receivers and internet connections, America will continue its long sleep. Because whether it's Septimus Severus or George Bush or Nancy Pelosi, it doesn't really matter much. They all know that bread and circuses are the key to keeping you silent as America slowly slips into oblivion, becoming not a nation, but a trading partner. Now play some circus music, please, on the Savage Nation. Snap, snap.
Healthcare. Healthcare coming soon, says Hillary. Plenty of healthcare. Extra, extra. Dems bring healthcare. Don't fear the terrorists. They're moms and dads just like you.
I like this music. I always loved circuses as a kid. Afraid of the freaks. What can I say now they're running the show? You all know that. If I could just play this music and go home, I'd be happy. What do I have here in the news? Let's see this. Oh, here's a nice story from the World Tribune. Thank you. They got the circus theme. You can knock it off. One of the biggest problems in radio is that people have no sense of timing. Some guys, you turn on their show, they play music for minutes. You don't even know the song they're playing. In their head, they think they're being clever, like Billy Crystal at his best. You don't know what they're doing it for. I'm lucky I was always good at entertainment. I always was. It's true I'm brilliant and very insightful and well-read and highly educated, but I'm also a good entertainer. Let's go to michaelsavage.com, America's most, well, interesting website in many ways. It's a picture site. It makes it easy for you to grab a story. Grab a picture, grab a story. One picture is worth 1,000 words. On the top left, we have a Peter Sellers lookalike, Leon Panetta. He's been chosen to head up the CIA. Nobody knows why. Even Feinstein was shocked by Panetta for CIA. Next on the website is, as you know, Boris Blagojevich's choice turned away from the Senate. And this is an outrage. I mean, for Blagojevich to have done this is, I don't know, it just makes no sense to anybody. He's alienated his own party. The guy's desperate and he's not doing the right thing. He should just step down. In Gaza, heavy fighting broke out in the center of Gaza City. All the liberals in the media are saying that the Israelis are going to get slaughtered with street fighting, urban warfare. The know-nothings in the media, again, the same ones that said we'd get butchered once we went into Beirut. Sure, men died, and that's terrible. And civilians die, and that's terrible. But stop already with what you don't know what you're talking about. The IDF knows what it's doing. They've taken over three high rises already. There's been no mass slaughter of IDF. So, all right, the media already. Oh, urban warfare. They're going to get killed with urban warfare. The comedian won in Minnesota by stealing the election with George Soros' money. Now we have a filthy, dirty comedian to be a senator from Minnesota. I wonder who the last laugh is going to be on. The next story is the tunnels, the secret weapon for Hamas. Tunnels like the Vietnamese. They learned a lot from the NVA in Vietnam. They're hiding in tunnels. What goes around comes around. Bush hides donors to library. That's a shocking story. Donors to George W. Bush's presidential library will remain a mystery, said the foundation overseeing fundraising, which is not going well. You think? Why would the fundraising for Bush's library not be going well? I mean, like, who would donate? Well, a lot of people owe him money, but even they're not forthcoming. Even they're dissing him. So the next story is, media not reporting Israel is following international law while Hamas does not. We know the story. It's always the same. Hide behind your children and women, sacrifice them for the media, and the rest is history. In San Francisco, a church, a Catholic church, was defaced with graffiti, including swastikas by radical homosexuals who are not happy with the church believing in God. Hello? Court to hear case challenging tuition break for illegal aliens. You hear this? In-state tuition to illegal aliens attending public colleges, just what the doctor ordered. Next on the Savage Nation website, michaelsavage.com, prosecutor wants Madoff jailed immediately, but the judge doesn't. Bernie Madoff mailed $1 million worth of expensive jewelry, rare jewelry, that is, to his relatives for Hanukkah and for Christmas. But that didn't put him in jail. Oh, no. No, no, no. Allegedly pulling off a $50 billion scam, now mailing jewelry while he's on house arrest. That doesn't get him into jail. But you jump a subway turnstile in New York, you go right to the tombs, particularly if you're poor and black. That's right. There's not only a double system of justice in America. You can count the many ways there are systems of justice in America. Sean Penn, deemed a useful idiot, duped by Castro gangsters. Real shocking. Oh, yes, all you global warming maniacs. The sea ice in the North Pole, which we were told would melt entirely this year, has made a remarkable ice recovery, and the sea ice levels have ended at the same level as 1979. Put that into your pipe and smoke it, Al Gore. Next on MichaelSavage.com is a German billionaire has killed himself over the financial meltdown. It gets worse and worse, and Madoff smirks and smirks. This is the Savage Nation.
Savage.